Good morning. We all braved the slush and the rain and the flurries or whatever it's doing out there to be here this morning. How good it is to be together in the beauty of this place in a spirit of worship. It is wonderful to see each and every one of you. A welcome to all, of course. A special welcome to those of you who might be visiting with us, and in particular, those who are here for the first time. If this is your first time worshiping with us here at St. John's, a very special welcome to you. In front of you in your pew, there is a little card that looks like this. We invite you to fill that out if this is your first time here or if you're visiting, just so that we can learn more about you and you can learn a bit more about us, so we can thank you for being with us this morning. When you fill that out, you can either just leave it sitting on your pews or you can place it in the basket to the right of your door as you exit this morning. And I trust that you know, whether visitor or not, that no matter who you are, and no matter where you are on life's journey, it is our deep desire to meet you where you are, and most importantly, to share God's love with you. So welcome. I don't have too many announcements this morning because in just a moment I'm going to invite Liz Rivett forward and she's got a list of announcements to make. But there are a few things listed in your bulletin just to pay attention to with things regarding the Midwinter Gala and fundraiser that's happening in February. So take a look at that. There's also some information about the communications coordinator update, as well as Ash Wednesday services, which this year are happening before we know it, February 14th. So just something to get on your calendar, still a little save the date because we know calendars fill up quickly. So Ash Wednesday services, information about that is also in your bulletin. And now I'm going to invite Liz Rivett forward.
Good morning. So I have some notes from council and about other things that are going on in the life of St. John's. The first is to announce that we will have a congregational meeting on February 4th following the 10:15 worship. This is our January meeting, kind of bled into February, but this is the meeting that we will have a couple of updates for everyone. We'll have update on the progress on the profile, which is what we will use and post to start the search of our new settled senior pastor. As Addie said, we'll be able to share some information about communications coordinator. We'll have a finance update, which will share our year-end position for 2023. We're gonna talk about a new initiative around code of conduct, decision-making, communications, and supporting our staff. So you'll hear more about that in the coming weeks. There's a small change in our bylaws that we're going to propose, as well as voting for new council members. That's the thing you're used to seeing in January. That will be part of that meeting. But as you can see, as we have throughout 2023, we have quite a few topics we think are very important for you to be aware of and engaged in and have an opportunity to be in dialogue amongst yourselves as well as with our council leaders. Following that congregational meeting, we will have a congregational dinner, as is the tradition. Please, if you have a chance, please sign up. There's not sign-up sheets yet today. There will be some for next week, but that helps our deacons know how much food to prepare. So starting next week, there will be a sign-up sheet in the narthex and in the elevator lobby that will include an opportunity to sign up to bring a dessert to share. And as always, we're looking for some helpers who can help out with the deacons. It's a big meal to prepare. So if you have any interest in some of the setup or breakdown serving, just reach out to Scott Vanderberg or any of the other deacons and we'll get you connected. As I've been mentioned twice already, another item is around the communications coordinator role. We are expecting to post that imminently in the coming days. And I wanted to just make sure everyone had some visibility to it. This is the job description, and I've got copies that are in the elevator lobby as well as the narthex if you have an interest in picking one up and having a look and seeing what this new role is going to be charged with. This will also be posted on our website, and we'll be doing some promotion through our social media sites as well. And if you would like to learn more and be in dialogue about that role, the members of the personnel executive team will be available after church next week, so January 14th, downstairs during social hour, where they will also have copies and can answer questions that you might have about this role and how we are positioning this to help St. John's grow. The last thing I had to share was just a reminder that Wednesday Night Live is back. We had a little hiatus over the holidays, but we are going strong with that. And we had a wonderful opportunity to gather some of the leaders who have been leading the activities related to Wednesday Night Live this past Wednesday. And I think everyone who's there is really excited about what we started and the possibilities of this new way of gathering and being in fellowship with one another. So I think we had some fun ideas of how this might continue to grow and evolve and draw some more people in. So, you know, if you haven't been to a Wednesday Night Live, I know it's winter, I know it's cold, but come on in. It's nice and warm in here. And just come see what it's all about. It's been, I think, a very fulfilling opportunity for us to gather in a very different way compared to what we do on Sunday morning. So it's not a replacement, it's a supplement. It's something that is a different way to get together and, you know, share in God's love. So that's all. If you have any questions about anything I shared this morning, I'm here. I'll be downstairs after the service as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Liz. Lots going on in the life of our church, lots to look forward to in this new year. I did want to say a special thank you to those who took some time yesterday to de-decorate our space. It looks a little bit emptier in here than it did just a few days ago. We didn't forget the star. It's kind of a big deal on Epiphany, which is today. So that will be guiding our worship service this morning. But a big thank you to those who came out. It is quite a task putting all of that away, and so much appreciated. All right, lots to think about, lots going on, but always time to pause and worship. So I want to invite you to join me in taking a deep breath. As we breathe in God's Spirit that surely fills this place, fills our hearts, fills each one of us as we gather to worship. And then exhale, feel yourself relaxing even just a little bit as we set aside those many things that are busying our hearts and minds so that we can be fully present here to worship. Amen.
Arise, shine, for our light has come, and the glory of God is with us today.
The three kings who diligently searched for Jesus moved beyond their familiar surroundings They understood there was something more in life to be revealed.
Like those magi of long ago, we come to worship in search of God's word for our lives.
We are searching for so many things, things like inner peace, the answers to hard questions, the right words to share in times of trouble and distress.
We gather knowing there is light in the midst of the world's darkness and chaos.
Arise, shine, for our light has come, and the glory of God is with us today.
Join with me now in our confession. Loving God, could it be that our searches for meaning are misguided and end up causing more heartache? We search for recognition, power, and prestige. Even though we are a people of faith, we often get seduced by the allure of approval and popularity. Instead of focusing on a deeper search for Jesus in our lives, we search for things that in the end do not satisfy. God of wonder, guide us toward the Christ who brings serenity, satisfaction, and joy. Bring us closer to the true meaning of our life's true purpose, one in which we, like the wise men, share the real treasures, the treasures that matter, with our loved ones, strangers, and friends. Give us the courage to trust your guiding light on life's journey. Amen.
Friends, in the same way God guided the Magi, God desires to guide us into new life and abundant joy. When we confess our sins, God's forgiveness abounds, and we are given the freedom to live without worry or fear. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Our scripture reading this morning is the familiar story of what we call Epiphany, from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star in the east and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the Magi and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen in the east, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. Word of God for the people of God. I'd like to invite our children to come forward and join me up front. Come on up. It's been a while since I've been up here. Come on up. All right. One more. Well, how's everyone doing? Now, I know if you were in the building a little early this morning, these guys were on a hunt, right? You were on a scavenger hunt. What were you lurking? What were you searching for? Stars. They were looking for stars, right? And why were you looking for stars? Yeah, to learn the story that we just read, right? The story of Epiphany, the story of the three wise men. Well, I figured I was going to give you guys a little bit of break, and I'll do the moving around today, okay? So in our story, and in the story that you learned, the star moves, right, and guides the wise men until it stops. And where does it stop? Where does the star stop? At the manger, right? That's how that the three wise men find Jesus. That's how they know where he is. So I was thinking, how do we know where Jesus is? Have you ever thought about that? Do you see a star in the sky and know, oh, that's where Jesus is? I don't often look at the star, but I figured that today we would maybe do a little bit of a walk around the sanctuary. Well, I'll do the walk around the sanctuary. You guys can, you know, you've had a busy morning. So, all right, so where in the sanctuary might we find Jesus? What do you think of when you think of where Jesus is in here? Where might he be? What about over here where I read scripture? We find Jesus in words of scripture, right? Yeah, okay. What about over here? Do we find Jesus in the music that we play and sing and make? Yep. What about here, especially today, right? We find Jesus in the gifts of communion, in the body and the blood and the bread and the cup. Well, this is an easy one. We find Jesus here, right, in the manger, especially at Advent when we have our manger up here and we can see with our eyes where Jesus is. Where else might Jesus? Oh, well, there's an actual star up there, right? Now, that'll be coming down probably at the end of this week, but in our minds, right, we know that Jesus is there. Well, I was thinking maybe somewhere back here. I never go out this far. It's like the deep end. What about out here? Yeah? We find Jesus out here too, right? Yeah, because the real place that we find Jesus is in each one of us, right? And Jesus is counting on us, even after that star goes away and the manger gets put away, even on Sundays where we're not having communion, even outside of this sanctuary, Jesus is counting on us to be the star, right? So that whenever people come in this place, whenever people meet any of us outside of this place, they know that Jesus is there. Jesus is here. Jesus is here within us. And now we might not be carrying a star around, right? But how might someone know that Jesus is in your heart? How might someone meet you and know? Kind and thoughtful, right? We're following what Jesus did. We're learning from how Jesus lived in the world. right? And we're going, doing those things in the world. That's how Jesus will, that's how everybody will know that Jesus is here, right? Do you think we can do that? Even after Epiphany's over, even after all the decorations come down and all the pretty lights come down off of our houses, even in the middle of summer, right? I think we can still be the star. Okay, well, let's pray together, and then we'll join in saying the Lord's Prayer. Let's pray. Loving God, we give you thanks that you gave those three wise men an actual bright, shining star in the sky to follow so that they knew where Jesus was. And God, even though there isn't a bright star above each of our heads and in the midst of this beautiful worship space, we know that you are here. So God, when people meet us out in the world, we pray that we might be a representation of Jesus in this world, that Jesus might be within our hearts so that all will know his love, so that all will know his peace and hope and joy. Help us to do that, God, even when it's hard. All of these things we pray in the name of Christ, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you all so much. You can head back to your seats.
I want to wish you Happy New Year. I may not have had the chance to do that. It's so good to see you all this morning. And as Addie said, it's great that you made the trek out. I was a little nervous yesterday, knowing that I would have to come from Reading. But it worked out. I want to talk about trips today. I want to talk about journeys. And I want to share with you the story of my very first long road trip with a friend that came very shortly after I graduated from high school. Back then, my very best friend, Bob Jackson, and I decided to visit our mutual friend, Carl Hazerick, in Jacksonville, Florida. Now, I first met Bob and Carl in Sunday school. We were kids. Young, and we had grown over the years to become friends. Well, Carl and his family moved to Florida during our senior year of high school. So during the summer of 1974, we packed our bags, loaded Bob's car, and headed off to Florida. We had a destination. Now, certain journeys become iconic. They become idolized, revered. They sometimes reach the stature of sacred story. And this story, well, this trip was certainly all of that. For two 18-year-olds, on our very first trip away from home without older adults, there was one orienting sign or symbol that essentially guided us to Carl Hazerick's home in Jacksonville. And that was the interstate shield with the number 95. Yes! Follow Interstate 95. Keep following that sign, and it'll take you to Florida. Now, my friend Bob, well, Bob in particular was not the most directionally savvy person. In fact, I can tell you a bunch of stories about Bob and I getting lost. That's for another Sunday. But those interstate shields, that number 95, provided the right kind of guidance and assurance. Now today, GPS, cell phones, they make finding addresses so easy. However, when Bob and I made our trek to Florida in 1974, it required looking at a map. Do you remember those? And keeping an eye on that Interstate 95 sign. There it is. Just keep following the sign. Now, we did have our moments during this journey, including the time we stopped to look at a map once we entered Florida, and Bob put his suitcase on the roof of the car. And it stayed there on the roof of the car for several miles. That is, until we started our ascent over a large and long bridge spanning the St. John's River. And then we heard the thump. You know the thump. And the suitcase, we looked in the rearview mirror. We looked out the window, and there was the suitcase. It was tumbling, tumbling, tumbling. There was nothing we could do. There's no shoulder on a bridge. So we crossed the bridge, parked the car, and ran back over the bridge to fetch his suitcase. The group of three wise men made the trip to Bethlehem from the east, what is today Iran. They weren't kings, as they are often referred to. Instead, they were scholars, they were priests, astrologers, whose curiosity, respect, and hunger for good and honorable rulers led them to pay homage. The wise men bestowed valuable gifts to the recently born king of the Jews. Now, Bob and I, on the other hand, upon arriving at Carl's home in Florida, bestowed fireworks, which we had purchased in North Carolina. This is what 18-year-olds do on their first road trip. The Magi, or wise men, didn't come to Bethlehem with the idea of ever becoming followers of Jesus. They never came to Bethlehem to become citizens of Judah or Israel. They didn't come to Bethlehem looking for a conversion experience. Instead, they came to Bethlehem because they sensed the light of the divine in another place. And they wanted to acknowledge it. They wanted to honor it. They wanted to respect it. They understood a new king had been born, a king for Judaism, a legitimate divine appointment by God. And it was, think about it, it was an interfaith engagement. A model of how we should honor and respect other religions. The wise men were probably Zoroastrian in their religious orientation. And so what makes this story so powerful, this story of three wise men, so powerful is that it juxtaposes two kingdoms. The kingdom ruled by the way Jesus would come to rule, and the kingdom ruled by the way Herod would rule. Jesus would rule with love, with consideration for the poor, for the weak, for the lost, for the oppressed. Herod ruled by intimidation, threat, and force. He would rule by conquering his fellow Jews, not by empowering them. You see, there are two ways of ruling, two roads of travel, two ways of reigning over one's kingdom. One way of ruling is by force, by might, by violence, by threat. Think of King Herod and think of others. The other way of ruling is by considering every person precious, worthy, part of God's royal family, regardless of wealth, position, religion, or status. Think Jesus. The wise men are wise because they know the difference. They know good leadership, and they know bad leadership. They know the difference between peace that is achieved through oppression and peace that comes when people are liberated, healed, and made whole. As we learn in this story, the wise men even knew not to return to Herod with information about the whereabouts of Jesus. They were not Jewish, but they heeded God's voice when it appeared to them in a dream. Go home another way. Take another road. Now, when we think about the wise men, we are given hope that different religions, different nations can respect and even learn from one another. God is big enough to hold the entire world, and our desire to follow in the way of Jesus is often similar to the desires of Jews, Muslims, Hindus, and Buddhists, and others to follow in the way of peace, harmony, sharing, serving, and love. Now, I don't want to boil down different religious faiths into some kind of least common denominator. No, each religion has a profound distinctiveness. And so when I engage a Jew or a Muslim or a Buddhist well, I find myself deepening in my own Christian faith. There's something about that engagement, the dialogue, that gets me out of my own bubble, out of my own trappings, my own narrowness. My faith actually grows because of difference and engagement. Think about it. We often want to corral people to think and believe everything that we believe, when in fact, the deepest growth comes from that engagement, the way we learn from others. And in so, I have come to more fully understand why I follow Jesus. There's a distinctiveness about him. It helps me clarify why him for me. I hitch my star to Jesus, and I will continue to do so. And like the wise men, I find myself becoming wiser, more understanding, more considerate, and I become more myself. With so much violence that has been unleashed throughout the world, and you don't need me to tell you that, there needs to be a company of people who will not get seduced into the politics of Herod, but will instead take their cues from the one we claim is king, if we really mean it. The power of Jesus Christ is not just a feel-good option in order to get to heaven. The power of Jesus Christ is to stand against anti-Semitism, to stand against racial and ethnic hatred, to stand against diminishment of other religions, to stand against violence. Hatred is the way of Herod, not Jesus. If you're looking for some deeper purpose for the year 2024, I'd suggest thinking about becoming wise men and wise women. It takes curiosity. It takes respect. And a hunger for the noble way. The good way, the loving way. Three wise men teach us that. They weren't Jewish. They certainly weren't Christian. But they were wise. So, people of God, stay curious. Stay open. Stay engaged. The wise men and wise women of this world are on their way to see us all. And that's good news. Amen.
As we switch our gears and move into a time of prayer this morning, I have a few joys to lift up. Our first joy, Anne and Eric Kinsey celebrated their 55th wedding anniversary on December 28th, so we continue our celebrations for them. Ron Huizenga celebrated a birthday on January 4th, so we celebrate with Ron. And I don't know if you've seen her yet, but we've got a new seeing eye puppy in our midst. Her name is Holly, and she is precious, and I'm sure we'll be just waiting for you to come and pet her. But we give thanks for Barbara Ann and for these little pups being a part of us and for the wonderful ministry of the Seeing Eye. No formal concerns listed in our book this morning, but I don't know about you, but I know of someone or many people who are under the weather for a variety of reasons this time of year, so we're keeping all who are feeling not so well in our prayers this morning. Knowing that we each come to a time of prayer with our own joys and concerns, on our hearts and minds, I want to invite you to bring those to mind now as we lift them up to God together in prayer. God of bright and abiding light, you have shown us in the person of your Son Jesus a new way to live, a new road to go. You have poured your light into the world, and you have asked us to live in that light rather than run and hide in the darkness of doubt, despair, and hatred. You promise to be our light all of our days and ask us to place our trust in you. The journey in this light is risky. It means that we will have to be serious about our service to you, about giving you our best and offering hope and light to others. In this new year, we bring to you the names of situations and people, all for whom light seems to be a stranger. God, we struggle with poor health, with illness, with economic hardship. We struggle with broken and damaged relationships, with addiction, with loss of loved ones, with worry and anxiety. And we take time now, O God, to place all of this and all who carry it into your care. God, we also place in your care those celebrating life's joys, knowing that you are a God who joins us in the weeping and in the rejoicing. We think of all those honoring anniversaries and birthdays, new life in our midst, a renewed sense of hope. And God, we think especially today of Anne and Eric, of Ron, and of Holly. We take a moment now, O God, to connect with you and to offer the silent prayers of our hearts. Lord, hear our prayers. We give you thanks this day for the gift of community, for fellow travelers on the road, for shared journeys, for those with whom we go the longest mile and bear the unbearable load. Just as we lean on you, we also lean on those around us this day and ask that you might deepen our love and concern for one another. Let your light shine on them, on all people, bringing healing and hope, and help us to be bearers of that light in all that we do. All of these things we ask and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. At this time, I invite you to stand as we join together in singing our doxology, as our offering is brought forward, and as we lift it up and dedicate it to God. Be seated.
Jesus the Christ invites us to this table. The Prince of Peace invites us to this table. The wise men ages ago recognized this Prince of Peace. And we are partners. We are a community of peace. In the midst of violence and destruction, Jesus calls us to be disciples of peace. Even in the midst of the violence and death that Jesus experienced, his call was still for peace. So on the night of his betrayal and desertion, Jesus took bread. And after he had given God thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
And after breaking the bread in the same way, before sharing it with those he loved, his disciples, he said to them, "This is my blood, poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you do this, do it in remembrance of me." I invite you to be with me in prayer as we bless these gifts. Loving God, it was not a star that led us here this morning, but there is something that draws us to this table time and time again. It is your love, your peace, your hope, and your joy. God, as we take of this bread and as we drink of this cup, may they be for us the body and the blood of your Son, Jesus. May they nourish us to go home by another road, a road that the world does not offer us, but a road that only you can. Be with us, O God. Amen. A few reminders before our servers come forward and we partake of this meal together. When you get the plates with the cups, a reminder that the outer circle is filled with wine. All of the inner circles are filled with grape juice. I will be walking around with a plate of gluten-free bread as well as individually packaged elements if those are a better choice for you today for whatever reason. So just flag me down. I will be making my way around. And of course, the most important reminder of
All are welcome at Christ's table. If you hunger and thirst for what Christ has to offer us, you are welcome. So I invite you to come, for all things are now ready.
The body of Christ, the bread of life, take and eat.
Friends, this is for us the blood of Christ, the cup of promise, life poured out that we might know life in all its fullness. Remembering this, we take and drink.
Let us pray. O gracious God, you have called each and every one of us. You know us by name. You adore us. You cherish us. And you nourish us with the spiritual love that we need. Taken through this bread and this cup. May we continue to be blessings to your world, the one you so love, the one for which Jesus Christ gave his life. And we pray it in his name. Amen.
Thank you.
Well, we hope you will take a few moments following the postlude to greet one another. A simple hello, a simple welcome to each other. And if you're able, join us for fellowship downstairs. Well, know this. God loves you so much. May God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may God give you peace, real peace, today, tomorrow, forever. Amen.